You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Ooh.
What's the catchphrase going to be?
What?
Russell Wilson's catchphrase in Pittsburgh.
That's a part of the conversation. We got no catchphrase, though. Like, if I'm Mike Tomlin, hey, let's cut out the corny stuff. No go Hawks, no Broncos country, let's ride. We're not doing that here. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not in our DNA. So I'm hoping that Russell Wilson goes off brand and decides to fade to black when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Black and yellow. Yeah, I hope that he does, but can he help himself is the question.
Probably not.
Wait a second. You just made a great unintentionally bold statement here. So wait, for those just tuning in, Russell Wilson is joining the Pittsburgh Steelers on a 1-year, $1.2 million deal. There's a lot to dive into there. I want to just go back. So you think, as part of the discussion that happened over the weekend between Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers, he sits down with Mike Tomlin, and one of the things Tomlin said is, no catchphrase.
Yes.
That was actually uttered from Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
I actually think you're probably right about this.
Probably.
Now, if you're Russ, you're leaning into your cheesiness with that. It's actually helped you in terms of branding, I think.
Has it?
But that's the problem, though.
Has it?
We don't care about your brand.
Right.
We care about winning football games. The brand for the Pittsburgh Steelers is that we win more than anybody else in the NFL. Like, that's what we do. We got the most Lombardis in the trophy case for a reason. We've had 3 head coaches over the last 50 years for a reason. We do a lot of winning around here. So it's not about the Russell Wilson individual brand. It's about that black and yellow. It's about the Pittsburgh Steelers brand.
Right.
And so not adhering to that is problematic for Pittsburgh. So that's why I think Russ has to leave that in the past if he's serious about resurrecting his career as a starting quarterback in the league.
I could not agree more. It is not going to go over well if he goes in there and tries to make it about him and tries to have a catchphrase and make this part of his brand. But, Evan, you said that helps his brand. If anything, I think it's hurt the way that we view Russell Wilson. We mock him with the Broncos country, let's ride, Mr. Unlimited.
Well, where are we going to?
Yeah,
Broncos country, let's ride. Where are we going, dog?
We're going to Pittsburgh. That's where we're going. We're going to a new franchise. That's where we go.
Well, it depends on how you look at brand. Like, he has something that's identifiable. You may not like it, but like we know he's the catchphrase guy. I agree.
We've always presumed that the catchphrase is a part of leading to a culture shift in a positive way, and we saw that's not the case in Denver. We've heard grumblings about it in Seattle, but a lot of people dismissed that as sour grapes from players on the defensive side of the ball that the organization moved off of. But we saw it was a real thing in Denver. The Russell Wilson brand got in the way of Russell Wilson, the football player and the tone setter. And when your guy at quarterback is an impediment and not a positive when it comes to culture in the building, that is problematic. So that's why I think you've got to move off of the catchphrases and all of the other things that Russell Wilson has done around his branding and just concentrate on keeping the main thing, which is playing quarterback to the best of your ability at this stage in your career.
All right, so let's talk about what it is here. It's a 1-year, $1.2 million deal is what we're assuming, a league veteran minimum deal. Adam Schefter first to report this. The Pittsburgh Steelers now at their quarterback position with their guy that is potentially going to go into the Hall of Fame one day in Russ and a guy they drafted in the first round in Kenny Pickett have less than $6 million invested in that quarterback battle. You enter a season.
Wow.
On the cap, excuse me.
Wow, that is unbelievable.
And it so is. You enter a season if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, automatically 9-8. It's what you do for the 17 games to get you to 10 wins, 11 wins, or God forbid, maybe 8 wins, which would be the first time Mike Tomlin would have a losing season. But that, to me, is how you look at this, and I love this. And good for Mike Tannenbaum, because he was one of the people who joined us at the last hour of the show that admitted, hey, you know what? Like, I'm surprised by this. Because there were many people, guys, as we know, that wrote this dude off. And they knew the money, Smalls. They knew what it was going to be, a league minimum. And said, he's not going to be in the league this year. Not only is he in the league, he's on a team before free agency even begins. Which is awesome, I think.
Because you're a Russell Wilson fan, right?
Yeah.
But if you're a Steelers fan, why would you not be happy with this today? What other option did you have?
Do you feel like Russell Wilson is the guy?
Versus who?
That's what I'm saying. You're still in a gray area at the quarterback position if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So I don't know why that would give them any sense of contentment that they brought in Russell Wilson. They know he's the cheapest option, and that's why they did it, because they're likely going to add another body to that quarterback room. But if I'm a Steelers fan and I know what the offense looked like last year, you gave the number, CC. It was not great. Not a great offense last year. I feel like we still haven't put that person in the room yet that I feel is going to be a transformative quarterback moving forward.
Sure. I don't think Russell Wilson is your franchise quarterback, but he's Mr. Right Now, and Mr. Right Now is a clear and obvious upgrade over anything you've had over the last several seasons. Russell Wilson in 2023 had more touchdown passes than the Pittsburgh Steelers had the past 2 years. Think about that. Mm-hmm. More touchdown passes than the Steelers have had in the past 2 years. That's what we got from Russ, and what a lot of people thought was a down year for him this past season. So, I mean, you're getting an upgrade. Last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they won 10 games, which means they lost 7 in the regular season. 6 of those 7 losses, they scored 13 points or less. It is an absolute embarrassment. So, yeah, Russell Wilson is going to be huge for them in terms of giving them somebody that can be the difference in a handful of plays that can ultimately decide the outcome of games. So, I like the decision to add him. And again, the value proposition, there's no downside to signing Russell Wilson because it's going to cost you league minimum, veteran minimum, which is $1.2 million. That doesn't preclude you from doing anything else at the quarterback position or on the rest of your roster. And so I think that's the part that you have to keep in its proper perspective if you're a Steelers fan sitting here today.
And the other thing that you've brought up many times, CC, that's like the dirty little secret amongst about the Steelers is, and you don't want to say it too loud because of how much they love the guy, Roethlisberger's last year wasn't pretty either.
No.
22-10, so numerically it was fine, but Russ was better than that numerically last year, playing one less game, had more touchdowns, less interceptions. So it's been a decent amount of time, and Mike Tomlin's greatness just shines through. And if you put Russell Wilson in the right offense, as Mike Tannenbaum told us he thinks he's going to be in, he doesn't have to be the Russell Wilson of Seattle. He just kind of has to be like the Russell Wilson last year in Denver with a better team and better coaching around him, and they're going to win 10 games.
Well, yeah, and we saw Arthur Smith have success with the retread quarterback before in Ryan Tannehill down in Tennessee, right? We've seen that before with Arthur Smith in a coordinator role. This is going to be a run-centric offense that's going to rely on shots downfield and play action. Remember Ryan Tannehill to A.J. Brown with Derrick Henry as a part of that running game? Well, that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be. And if we're all being honest with ourselves, that's when Russell Wilson was at his best. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the let Russ cook years that got him to the Super Bowl. It was, hey, we're going to run this thing with beast mode. We're going to play rock solid defense. And Russ is going to throw outstanding passes down the field when we decide we're going to take shots and play action. That's the formula. Less Russell Wilson equals better Russell Wilson. That's what the formula is. And based on what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be paying him, I got to believe that that's going to be their philosophy. Again, Russell Wilson represents an upgrade over what you had. And when you think about the weapons that he's going to have to work with in Pittsburgh, with Pat Freiermuth and Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, it feels like it has the makings of recreating some semblance of what the offense was in Seattle when it was at its best.
So you guys are assuming that he's going to win the starting job, that Russell Wilson will be the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season.
Because if he don't win the starting job, he's going to be a backup for the rest of his career. He's high. I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett won't be motivated in this quarterback battle, but I mean, it is an indictment on Russell Wilson if he can't beat out Kenny Pickett for the starting job in Pittsburgh.
I mean, I think he's going to be the starter, but the contract and length of the contract, one for 1.2, allows them to release him at any point if they don't feel like he is the right fit. It's not going to crush them. I want to go back to one thing, Smalls. You're not as high on this, obviously, as we are. Would you not have done this if you were the Steelers?
No, I probably would have because of the financial reasons, because it is so low risk. It's unbelievable. And this allows you to add another quarterback to the quarterback room, compete for the starting job while allowing yourself the resources to add to your team elsewhere because you're not sunk by the quarterback position. But I don't feel great about it. I don't feel like I have a transformational quarterback or a solution at that position. It feels like yet another Band-Aid or another bridge until they inevitably get there. And if I'm a Steelers fan, I could understand being frustrated.
Here's why the front office and ownership feels good about it, though. it represents an opportunity to upgrade quarterback, and that might represent an opportunity to push the negotiations with your head coach across the goal line. Like that is probably the biggest, most consequential move that the Pittsburgh Steelers have to make this offseason is signing Mike Tomlin to a contract extension. And Mike Tomlin didn't mince words after the playoff loss in Buffalo in talking about the quarterback spot. That he wanted to upgrade at the quarterback position. Well, damn it, this is an upgrade. I don't know how much of an upgrade, but it's materially better than what you've had, right? Well, like the best of Kenny Pickett doesn't come close to the worst of what we've seen for Russell Wilson. It just doesn't. That is the reality of it. So, like, with Mike Tomlin, knowing the quarterbacks that he's going to have to face in the AFC, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's seven of the top 10 quarterbacks right there in the league. And Mike Tomlin was going in there with, I'm sorry, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky. Mm-mm. Give me a break. So, like, the head coach applied pressure with his impending contract negotiation, knowing that he's going to be a free agent after 2024. He said, you know what? Before we get this extension done, let's get the quarterback room settled. Let's get some more talent in the quarterback room. And that's why I don't think they're done adding in a quarterback room. But based on the value proposition, there is absolutely no downside to the Steelers signing Russell Wilson for $1.2 million.
And I'll go even further. Smalls, you're right in that you can look at this and say, all right, is he going to bring them to a Super Bowl? It isn't the goal, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, to win the Super Bowl every year. Of course, right?
Yeah, that's the standard.
Right, that's the standard. So do you think that Baker Mayfield, who was great last year, is bringing the Bucs to a Super Bowl?
I'd feel better about him than Russell Wilson.
$25 million a year better than him? $24 million a year better than him? Excuse me?
That's a lot of money, but...
Right. So if I'm going to have...
But that's the thing. We're talking about him, but we're always leading with the money. We're not leading with the play. We're leading with the money.
Right, but every quarterback in the league, probably outside of Mahomes, we probably lead with the money because it's, by paying this guy, what can I do with the other 52 spots?
Yes.
We talk about Tua and that it's not... None of us think Tua's bad. It's that if you increase from 23 to 50, where does the 27 come from, right?
Players, right? Other positions.
Right.
And well, when you say that, that just hurts. Well,
that's what I saw you physically react.
I get nauseous thinking about
that. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow, it's a big commitment. Sorry, Dolphins fans.
And you're right. Commitment. It's like, well, if we always go to money, it could be uninteresting to some. I get that. But what we're actually talking about is this a quarterback that allows for the team to win and win big by having support? Patrick Mahomes could literally make, what is the cap now, 230? Patrick Mahomes could make
255.
255, excuse me. Patrick Mahomes could make 245 a year. And we would think they could piece it together for $10 million for the rest. I'm being serious. Like, or no, that doesn't make $200 million a year. If I said you have a league minimum at every other position on the team, we would still pick them to win the Super Bowl. That's how great he is. There's nobody like that. Right? So with Russell Wilson at 1.2 and Mike Tomlin there, that's when you start to get excited because CeCe just picked them to win the division if Russell Wilson achieves what he believes he could achieve because of all the money you could spend everywhere else.
Well, I didn't say they were going to win the division. I said they could win the division. Okay. Yeah. Like, I would still, feet to the fire, I would still take the Baltimore Ravens. But, I mean, based on how much Russell Wilson plays relative to the other quarterbacks in the division, yeah, I mean, they're going to have a shot. Think about it. Like, Russell Wilson over the last 2 years has played in more games than every other starter in the AFC North. Like Lamar Jackson played 28 games, Russ played 30 in the regular season. Joe Burrow played 26 games, and Deshaun Watson, I mean, he was suspended half the year in 2022, and then last year he was hurt half the year. So, I mean, he's played more. So you're telling me that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have their starting quarterback in Russell Wilson more than those other teams in the division, and knowing how the Pittsburgh Steelers play defense, and knowing how they run the football, yeah, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers can not only compete to win the AFC North, but they could go on a deep playoff run.
I don't want this to sound hyperbolic, but it feels like this could be a real legacy shifter for Russell Wilson, big time in one way or the other.
No.
If you can restart your career in a way and go to Pittsburgh and be everything you just described and help them win and get to the playoffs, we're going to view you through a certain lens if you're Russell Wilson.
It's not hyperbole to say that his Hall of Fame candidacy is on the line with how it goes in Pittsburgh this year.
If he can't beat out Kenny Pickett, if he can't make it work with Mike Tomlin – That's the way we're going to view Russell Wilson.
And conversely, if he goes to a conference championship game, then everything that happened in Denver gets washed away.
I agree with that.
Then it's Denver's fault and not his.
Yes. Yeah.
We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
AFC North making moves.
Super Bowl team, though? No reason to think they can't be one of those.
You don't think the Browns could be a Super Bowl team?
How in the hell are they going to be a Super Bowl team?
Well, I don't think anybody in the AFC could be a Super Bowl team outside of the Chiefs, but in general.
Seriously, with the quarterback situation in Cleveland, how the hell are they going to be a Super Bowl team?
Well, but that's...
We still holding on to this 2020 Deshaun Watson thing?
I thought
that thing was over with already.
I haven't been.
What have we seen from Deshaun Watson over the last 2 years, save one half of football at M&T Bank Stadium, that would make us think that the Cleveland Browns should be a Super Bowl contender?
Nothing. Quite literally nothing.
Nothing. Their defense is great.
Great.
They added another weapon at wide receiver. Awesome. You still got to figure out quarterback. And you thought you did it when you traded 3 first-round draft picks to the Texans and paid Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. And right now, that contract, that transaction is the anchor keeping this team from being able to participate in the championship rounds.
So,
My gosh.
Well, okay.
It could be a team in the mix.
Nothing you're saying.
What are the guys at ESPN Cleveland smoking?
That was Mel Kiper that said that.
What is Kiper smoking? Man.
So, retroactively, what you said, based on his time in Cleveland, 12 games, 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, all of that, fair. Let's spin it this way. Let's spin it positively for the Browns for a second. The team that went out there this weekend traded 2 late round picks to get Jerry Jeudy, a former first round wide receiver from the Broncos, to pair with their first round wide receiver, Amari Cooper. If Deshaun Watson is just average, if he's the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, are they a Super Bowl contender? I'm not asking him to be what they wanted him to be when they gave up all of those picks and an insane amount of guaranteed money. I'm not asking for that. You can't ask to be top 5 when you're not even top 20. If I say to you he's the 16th best quarterback in the league this year, are they Super Bowl contenders?
Yeah, they're in the mix.
I'm not asking for much, CeCe.
Based on that defense, I'll put him there.
I don't know.
It's still not a good trade if he's 16th.
I don't know.
But they were there last year with Joe Flacco.
I got to help.
But they weren't a championship team with Flacco. They weren't. Appreciate you, brother. They weren't a championship team with Flacco.
CeCe was tangled in wires.
They were a playoff team. Right, they weren't a championship team.
But to me, as long as you punch your ticket, you've got a shot at it.
Well, I guess that. I mean, based on that, yeah. But, I mean, did we look at the Cleveland Browns as a true title contender, even though they were in the playoffs? No. We didn't look at the Steelers as a title contender.
No.
We didn't look at the Tampa Bay Bucks as a title contender.
No.
So, I mean, no. So, I guess that's... Yeah, could you get back to where you were last year? Sure. But can you rival what we've seen from the Baltimore Ravens, what we've seen from the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, what we think the Houston Texans will be next year? I mean, the Buffalo Bills?
Burrow's back healthy?
Yeah, Burrow and the Bengals? No, I just don't see it. No, I don't.
I think you don't see him being a 16th best quarterback, or you think if he's the 16th best quarterback, they're not contenders?
If he's the 16th best quarterback, they're not contenders.
So what? How high does he need to go? Top 10? Statistically,
yeah, he's got to get back to being a top 10 quarterback.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that Deshaun Watson this year will be a top half of the league quarterback.
Why? Why? Why?
Because
do you think
I think it has been so unbelievably bad that at some point, someone that has the talent that this guy has on the football field, at some point has to wake up and realize my football mortality is in front of me right now. And I am not going to necessarily be the guy that I was, but this organization has done so much to help him that at some point he's got to live up to it. And I'm asking him to be Geno Smith. That's what I'm asking him to be.
But you don't think he was trying to do that this season?
I do, but I think there was a there was something odd from the get-go with the injuries, and then is he playing? Is he not playing? The communication.
So why would we think it would deviate at all?
Because his football life wasn't on the line until Joe Flacco showed up.
They gave him $230 million guaranteed. His football reputation and his personal reputation were on the line.
But Smalls, he was the boss. Then all of a sudden, somebody shows up literally off a couch and does his job significantly better than he did it.
But how does that change anything about Deshaun Watson's football future, though?
Well, I'm hoping if you're a Browns fan, it does.
But how does
he's
it,
getting
how
all
does
his money.
Do how is that not a wake-up call?
But he's still got $125 million guaranteed coming
to him. Well, then he's done. Then he's done. If that's all he cares about, which is fine, but then he is done. Right? If all he's saying is, it doesn't matter.
Well, you knew the money was a huge factor. That's why he didn't go to Atlanta when he got traded from the Texans. Like, that's why the Cleveland Browns went to such lengths. They didn't give him $230 million out of the kindness of their heart, guaranteed. They gave it to him because nobody else would. That was the only way you were going to get Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
So now you're surprised that money is the priority for him?
I am just saying. I'm saying to you.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not asking for much from this guy. I don't think I'm asking for much.
But they haven't been asking for much. In the beginning, they thought he would be what he was at times in Houston. But I think quickly they realized, okay, it's not going to be the same. We just kept saying if he could be above average last year, what could the Cleveland Browns be? And outside of one half of football versus the Ravens, as you mentioned, we didn't see that at all.
You're right.
So we
did from Flacco, to be fair, right?
Correct.
The quarterback play from Flacco for 6 or 7 weeks that he was a quarterback was a top 16 quarterback in the league, what I'm asking for.
Yeah, but here's the other thing that nobody is talking about around Deshaun Watson. You do realize he had surgery on his throwing shoulder, right?
You're right. Nobody's talking about that because I haven't thought about that once.
Nobody's talking about we don't know that he's going to be the same kind of quarterback.
I have not even thought about
first,
that for
first
once
of all,
per
we
second.
Didn't see the same
honest.
Quarterback from Houston show up in Cleveland. So there's that part. But then we've got a surgery on his throwing shoulder. Why are we thinking that Cleveland's going to be in the mix to win a title? Like, that's one of those, I got to see it before I believe it. And as good as their defense is, guess who else has good defenses? The Buffalo Bills have a good defense. The Baltimore Ravens have a good defense. Mm-hmm. And the Kansas City Chiefs have a good defense. All of those defenses, those are all top five scoring defenses from a year ago. All of them. And guess what else they have in common? They got better quarterback play than you. Much better. Mm-hmm. Between Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. So why the hell would I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be a true title contender? Please.
So you don't think the Browns are going to be the ones that
stop
get it
yourselves.
Done?
Stop yourselves.
Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, yes. For the ones who get it done, like the Kansas City Chiefs. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com.
That's LECTRICEBikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, it is time now for all the
small things
with Michelle Smallman
here on ESPN Radio. Guys, I want to kick things off today talking hockey. That's right.
As we always do.
We're talking hockey here on Unsportsmanlike, specifically the Rangers. I was at Madison Square Garden on Saturday. My St. Louis Blues were in town. Rough game for the Blues. The Rangers crushed them 4-0, outskated, outplayed them. The Blues are bad. The Blues are just bad. 2019 feels like a million years ago. But I was excited not only to see my St. Louisans who were in town for the game and see my guys wearing my laundry, but I wanted to see Matt Rempe IRL. I wanted to see him in real life. He made a big name for himself when he made his debut with the Rangers because he was fighting everybody in the league, including Ryan Reeves. But I wanted to see him in person. And guys, he is insane. He is an absolute menace in this league. He's 6'7", 240.
Oh my God.
They call him the Rempire State Building because he's such a towering figure. He's out there on skates and it looks like the movie Twins when he's next to some of these guys.
They came out last night, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito at the Oscars together.
We'll get to that in a second. Thank you for bringing that up. But he is such a presence. He's one of these players that is so electric. When he steps out on the ice, you can't take your eyes off of him. He's the phenomenon and I'm so pumped that I got to see him in real life.
All right, we got to cut to the chase on some of these things from Saturday night with this hockey game.
Okay.
So Nuno and I went to the Rangers-Blues game. Was that last year or the year before, Nuno? Maybe the year before?
Thanks for the invite. Yeah. Jeez.
2 years ago. We thought we had this sick hookup. Nuno and I were in this suite. We were pigging out, having fun. Tons of people, etc. Yeah. Then we heard about Smalls' hookup. And the hookup is from the same people.
Apparently,
so why did you get such a better hookup than we got?
How do you know that I did?
Per sources close to me. You were I didn't know they had clubs at NHL games, but somehow Smalls was at a club.
I was, yeah.
Okay, well, we didn't have that hook. Our hookup was great, but what was your setup on Saturday?
So you go through this specific entrance and you go down this kind of narrow hallway and you emerge in this private club or suite that
has we didn't have that.
Their own bathrooms. They have a bar. It's decorated. Very cool. Kind of feels like a lounge feel. Great food that they had. All the TVs. And then a personal liaison that escorts you down to the ice level takes you to your seats. It
Unreal.
Was the best setup I've ever had at a hockey game in my life. It was awesome.
All right, Michelle, we got follow-up.
So okay, go ahead.
On Friday's show, and you guys can go back and listen on the podcast, Pat said that if you walk into an opposing arena, field, whatever stadium, rocking the visitor's jersey, you should expect to get punched in the face.
Correct.
Now, obviously, I don't think you had your Blues jersey on, but there was other people in the crowd with Blues jerseys. Did you see any Blues fans get punched in the face because they were wearing a Blues jersey?
Great question. First of all, I had my St. Louis hat on. I have a black Cardinals hat that's black on black. It just has the STL on it. And I wore that.
So nobody would know.
But I also don't have a blue sweater. So that was what I had to rep my city. You know, I live in a small apartment, guys. We got to make it work. We can only bring so many things. But there were people in the stands in blue sweaters. I was high-fiving everybody saying, what's up, St. Louis? Here we go. I didn't see anyone get punched in the face, but I think it's because the Blues played so badly that it would have just been wrong. Like, you don't kick somebody when they're down. You know what I mean?
That also means that those fans couldn't get in the section that she was in.
Yes, they were. They were right by the Blues fans were right
by
me.
They didn't have
we
the
just
private,
didn't have much to
the
cheer
private
about.
Entrance with somebody walking into your seat.
There
seats?
Was two Blues fans that were in two rows in front of me.
She had like Jeffrey from Fresh Prince walking her, the butler, to her seats.
No, no, no.
Kind of.
But no, I didn't see any sort of tussles at all between fans. But again, I think if the Blues were beating the Rangers 4-0, maybe it would have been a different scenario.
Now, you have this 75 hard, this workout diet mindset regime that you're doing right now.
Day 8, yeah.
Going to a game like that and having the access to the food and drink that you had probably was very difficult.
I didn't eat one thing.
Unbelievable.
And I had club soda with lemon and lime.
Tempted at all?
Yeah. There are few things on earth that I love more than sitting down at a sporting event and getting a draft beer. Like when I go to a baseball game, I need a hot dog and I need a draft beer. And it was so hard for me to not have an ice cold Bud Light and cheer on my team. But the guy who was making my drinks was nice. He's like, oh, double club soda, extra citrus. He was like making a joke out of it.
Trust me, I can relate. I have a bar mitzvah coming up on Saturday for someone. I want to avoid eating too much, but I'm not going to. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, next one. Let's keep things moving because I don't want to dwell on the Blues anymore. But Matt Rempe, if you haven't seen him in person and you have the opportunity, please do, because he is an absolute menace. So Iowa comes from behind 94-89 in overtime, a big win against Nebraska. They're the 2024 Big Ten Women's Champions. It's the Hawkeyes' third consecutive title. Caitlin Clark, she had the lowest scoring half of her career in the first half, only 4 points, 2 of 13 from the field, 0 of 9 from beyond the arc. She bounced back in a big way, 34 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. She was the most outstanding player in the game. I keep thinking about this. We talk a lot about pressure. We talk about the Cowboys' pressure to win, the Dodgers' pressure to win. What about Iowa and Caitlin Clark? If we talk about the fact that she is the biggest thing in college sports, they now have had the Big Ten title 3 years in a row. How much pressure is on her and Iowa to get it done this season?
I think a lot, but South Carolina is undefeated. LSU is Angel Reese. That game yesterday was phenomenal and crazy and wild with the altercation, or however you want to say it, at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Is there more pressure on Caitlin Clark in Iowa or South Carolina, considering South Carolina hasn't lost?
But I just think about her being the face of all of this and the fact that this is the last opportunity that she's going to have, and she's got to get it done.
But I think it's almost like...
Like, we're talking about Jason Tatum and the pressure that he has to win because of all of the ripple effects that could happen around him. This is the... She's got to do it.
I don't know enough about the rest of her team, though, right? When you're talking about these other teams, they have a star and then... other stars around them. I don't know that Iowa necessarily has that. And that's what I wonder about.
But when we talk about a different sport, obviously completely different thing, but we talk about Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT in waiting.
But he has, like, they now in my mind have a core four, if you think about it, right? With Kelsey and now Chris Jones back, and then obviously Andy Reid as the coach.
And Spags, I'd say a core five.
Oh, yeah, it, true. Steve Spagnuolo.
I'm never going to discount his.
Right, so there's more people. Iowa seems like... perception, I'm not saying it's reality, perception is it's a one-person team, which it's not. I understand that.
Sure.
But that's the one person gets the press, obviously.
But if we're going to talk about her in GOAT terms, winning a title is part of that.
I think her career legacy is helped by winning a title. I don't think it's hurt by not. She's going to be the number one pick in the draft. She's the highest-priced player right now in terms of NIL and all the ticket prices, Vivid Seats for that. I don't know. I don't think it hurts her as much as it could help her.
Okay. Next one. Does anyone watch the Oscars anymore? When I was growing up, this was must-see TV. You would watch all the movies in advance of the Oscars. You would sit down at a certain point and make sure that you watch the red carpet. Now, I didn't even think about watching it last night. I was like, oh, I'll catch the carpet and see who wore what because I'm intrigued in that on social media. I didn't even think about watching the Oscars last night.
I watched it because it started at 7 p.m. Eastern, so I was thrilled with that. I didn't watch the entire thing, and I like Kimmel a lot, so I watched that part of it, you know, with his monologue to start it. I mean, I think people watch it. Is it they don't watch the Oscars, or they don't watch the movies that are nominated for Oscars?
Both. I think we're not watching the movies in the manner in which we used to, because we're watching Traitors and Love is Blind and whatever, the Patriots Dynasty on Apple, whatever is the hot show that's out. It feels like everybody's binging that collectively rather than watching movies. But I just don't think award shows carried the same weight that they once did.
No, I mean,
like the VMAs.
VMAs,
we used to always watch the VMAs. We used to always watch the Oscars. We don't watch... I just don't feel like it has the same cachet as it once did.
I went to the VMAs 1 year in Miami. It was unbelievable.
Nice.
And like now, I don't know when they are. I got to be honest.
I don't know.
I would watch it if I knew, but I hate to break this to you. For things like that, you and I may be too old at this point.
For the Oscars?
No, for the VMAs. I'm saying that.
I was like, geez.
No. Oscars, maybe we may be too young, as crazy as that may sound. But I just think that this has always been the issue I've had. The movies that everyone sees are not the movies that are always nominated for the Oscars. Now, this year may be a little different. Oppenheimer, people saw. But like, I watched
Barbie.
I watched Ricky Stenicki this weekend.
What's loved that?
On Prime with John Cena. It was great. Like, it was a stupid, raunchy comedy.
I did see that he showed up without clothes on.
Yes, he did.
I saw that this morning.
Yes, he was naked at the Oscars.
Yeah. It's one way to go about it.
Yeah, well, you get noticed, right?
No doubt.
Anything else?
Okay, yes, last one. I really hope we have enough time for this. So Pistons GM Troy Weaver, Yeah. He got in an altercation with a Pistons fan at Little Caesars Arena on Saturday night's Detroit Pistons loss to the Dallas Mavericks. So there's a video that kind of made its way around social media where you can see the fan heckling him, saying, "You're really bad at your job." And then the fan's removed from the arena. He responds to him basically saying, like, I could or should beat you up. But what do you think about this? A, why was he down there in that area with the fans anyway? And B, if you're a fan and your team's been as bad as the Detroit Pistons, do you feel like the fan has the right to say that to the general manager?
Well, two things. One, a lot of GMs do sit in the crowd. They sit in the crowd a lot, actually, because the view that they have of the game is actually better in some cases in that mid, like, 100 section versus the top level luxury suites or the floor. They seem to like that. And two, Troy Weaver hasn't proven to be good at his job, to be fair.
They're 70 and 229.
Yeah, and the Monty Williams contract's not ideal. I mean, Javonte, where were you this weekend? Were you with you are a Pistons fan? Did you have an altercation with Troy Weaver that we were unaware of?
I did not. I promise it wasn't me.
Are you on the side of the fan or the GM in this case?
Yeah.
A little of both. I know that's probably not the popular answer, but the reason why I'm on both sides, because if you're the GM, well, the fan, like, you're the GM, you want to tell the fan how you feel because you obviously bought tickets, which is weird. You bought tickets to see a bad team, but you get a chance to tell the GM how you feel, so that's your chance. On the other side is, as the GM, he should be able to sit in the crowd, but also the video, I think, was like 20 seconds, so the fan probably could have said more that we don't know of that could have made him react like that. So kind of on both sides here.
It's a very tricky thing because you're in that high-profile kind of position. You're supposed to take it and not give it, but at some point, what are you taking that you don't give? Like, what, as Javonte just said, what line was crossed that he felt that way, right? And so, it, like, hey, you stink, Smalls, you stink, CC, you stink, Evan. All right, fine. If you say something personal and nasty, that's a different story, right? Unfortunately, we're in that kind of spot where public eye, you're supposed to take it and not give it as much. But we don't know, to be fair, what was said in that moment. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Legal tampering day in the NFL begins at noon Eastern time. Moves have already been agreed to, including Mac Jones to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The former first-round pick by the New England Patriots, their former starter, who big-time fell out of favor, gets traded to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. The Jaguars taking a flyer on a hometown kid who they're hoping can come back to Jacksonville and be competent as a backup. Obviously not going to be their starter with Trevor Lawrence there, but this was a disaster for New England. This was the guy that was supposed to be the next in line behind Brady. They sit there at 15. They get him in the draft out of Alabama. He had won a national championship, and everybody's thinking, including me, oh my God, Belichick did it again. He got a guy that is used to playing in that kind of system with that kind of coach for Saban going to Belichick. And it totally, like the rest of the 2021 draft at the quarterback position in the first round, totally fell apart, Smalls.
Yes, but with Mac Jones specifically, Evan, as somebody who follows the New England Patriots probably closer than anybody, how much of this is on Mac Jones and how much of this is on the Patriots organization?
Yeah, I think when you look at what has happened, let's get CC back in here, coming from Get Up. He's going to walk in the shot. What big deal. Whatever. So when you look at what happened here, they got each other fired, in essence. However you want to divvy up the blame, if Mac Jones was better, whether it's coached better, played better, all of the above, Bill Belichick would still be the head coach of the New England Patriots. There's no question in my mind. If Mac Jones was the guy for the last 2 years that he was his first year in New England under Josh McDaniels, and McDaniels then gets a job as the Raiders head coach because of the success he had post-Brady, right, and looking at what Mac Jones did in that year one. If Mac Jones was that guy and had incremental 1% improvement on a 17-game season, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, if he had a 1% improvement each of the last 2 years, there is zero question in my mind he'd still be the quarterback of the Patriots, and Belichick would still be the head coach.
Yeah, but let's not have revisionist history on what Mac Jones was, even in his rookie year, right? He was 16th in QBR. That is the definition of average.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he would have been able to sustain even average quarterback play over the last couple of years, then Bill Belichick is probably still around, which is why I can't completely absolve Mac Jones of blame in all of this situation. Now, I don't think Belichick did him any favors by hiring a defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, to be his OC in year two. And we all know how important that sophomore season is in terms of a quarterback's overall development. But at the same time, Mac Jones could have been better in terms of his professionalism, in terms of his leadership, in terms of being a good teammate. And I think because of those issues that they've seen from him and his sports character overall, it made it an easy decision for Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo to move off of him this early in the offseason. Think about it. The New England Patriots are poised to take a quarterback with the third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones would have been a perfect bridge until your quarterback that you draft is ready to be your full-time starter. And also keeping in mind until the roster is ready to support a young quarterback. They could throw Mac Jones out there, let him take all the slings and arrows because, you know, as a matter of fact, they were in line to pay him anyway, and he's still on a rookie contract. But they decided that they were going to go away from Mac Jones. To me, that is an indictment on the sports character of Mike Jones, and that's the part of this that's hard to ignore.
Yes, but I don't think they put him in a great position to succeed. He's had three coordinators in 3 years. He was sacked 48 times last season. He didn't have great protection. He didn't have great talent around him on the offensive side of the football. I mean, some of this is on him, certainly, but I also think the New England Patriots deserve a big portion of the blame here when it comes to the way that they developed him. They did not do a good job of developing him, and he could have acted better for sure. But I think about the frustration that I might feel in that situation if I'm Mac Jones. And again, not an excuse. He should have definitely handled everything better. But I give more blame to the Patriots than I do to Mac Jones on this
See,
one.
See, I think everybody defaults to the fact they put Matt Patricia as a defensive coordinator, as an offensive coordinator, defensive guy there. If Matt Patricia, as the offensive coordinator, just ran the same system that they had the year before, it would have been fine. He actually changed the system. I don't think enough people talk. They tried to do the Niners offense with Mac Jones.
But here's the thing.
It failed miserably.
But here's the thing that I criticized the Matt Patricia decision for. It's not because he changed the offensive system. It's the question of whether or not Belichick got the most qualified offensive coordinator that he possibly could have. And I don't know how, in good conscience, you could say he did that.
Well, I agree. But if he just said, okay, so here's what McDaniels did. We're just going to do this again. I'm going to learn this so you guys don't have to. That's not what they did. And then they scrapped it. Because the one thing you wanted with Mac Jones was theoretically his smart/decision-making. He was horrible at that, right? He ultimately was hard. And then in year two, they took that a little bit away from him. And then for whatever reason, he was so shot. As a result, I think what New England will have this year is the exact opposite of Mac Jones in terms of the sports character. If you're going to bring in Jacoby Brissett, which all the rumors are that they're going to do that, you're talking about a depth chart that will have Jacoby Brissett, who I believe will be the starting quarterback on week one. I do not believe they're going to start the number three pick in the draft.
Okay.
They'll have the number three pick in the draft, and I think as of now, Bailey Zappe. That gives you a lot more confidence moving forward than what you had the last couple of years by a mile.
Yeah, if I got Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, and Bailey Zappe, yeah.
I'm good.
I feel good about what my quarterback room can grow into because I know Jacoby Brissett will allow my defense to be competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I know as a team, we can compete. We'll run the football. We'll be tough. We'll be rugged. Our defense will keep people down. Knowing you're going to get Christian Gonzalez and Matt Judon back healthy. Like, I know that we'll be in a lot of football games.
Sure.
And that will help in terms of Jerod Mayo being able to establish a culture because you got to have something tangible for those guys in the locker room to hold on to. You got to have some kind of success. And Jacoby Brissett is a professional quarterback. And so I think you'll get those elements. And then you always have the hope of whatever the number three overall pick represents, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. So The future is bright for the New England Patriots. I actually like the decision that they made moving on from Mac Jones, going out and getting somebody that knows how to be a quarterback in this league. So your young quarterback that you draft with the third overall pick could sit and watch how a professional goes about his business.
Right.
What does the film study look like? What was the week of preparation look like? What did the reps in practice look like? What does taking care of your body in the regular season look like? How do you go about your offseason? What do the studies that you do in the offseason look like? All of those things matter in terms of putting that kid, whoever they draft, in position to have success in the league.
I think all of us are in agreement that whatever it is that happened with Mac Jones over the last 3 years led to Bill Belichick not being there, however you want to divvy up blame, which goes to show you how vital getting the quarterback is, right? Because if Belichick can get fired as a result of that, anyone can get fired. Think about that.
Good point.
We're sitting here, we're talking about Ryan Poles, number one pick overall, Caleb Williams. You better get it right, because if you don't, Belichick got fired. So you sure as hell are going to get fired if Belichick gets fired. After 20 years and six Super Bowl wins, because Mac Jones, again, however you want to paint the picture, did not even become decent, Belichick does not have a job right now. Which is just crazy to me to think about. All right, Nuno, our producer, promised that after 9 a.m. Eastern, there would be breaking news. And that is what we were going to talk about at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll see if he's right next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.